Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your blessings that you have poured out upon us again this morning. Thank you for life and health for those of us who are healthy. And I pray for those who are sick that you would heal them. I pray, Lord, that we just thank you for the beautiful, refreshing snow and the beauty of it as we walk in your quiet creation and worship you. And to this morning, as we sit at your feet and hear your voice, we pray you would help us to quiet our hearts, whatever direction our minds want to go, Lord, and help us to focus our attention on you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you stepped outside the door this morning and for the second morning in a row, everything is just white, quiet, beautiful? I'm not a winter person. Some of you love winter. That's your favorite month of the year. I like to walk through the garden and listen to the birds singing and watch everything growing. And I guess I'm a farmer. This time of the year has its own beauty. From the window. But there's something beautiful, though, about the quiet of the morning on a winter morning like this. There's not many birds singing oftentimes in the winter. And it's a be still and know that I am God. Just causes our hearts to worship as we think about the greatness and beauty of our God. That's what I was thinking this morning as I stood there at the window and I looked out and I was like, wow. And yesterday morning I did the same thing. But I'm awed at the beauty of God. And as I was thinking about sharing this morning, I was Jerry Stump. They had a little baby and he was on for this morning and he called me and asked me if we would switch last week. I said I would, and as time came on, I'm seeking the Lord. What would you have me to share? And this morning, my mind's going all over the place. I'm thinking of all kinds of things, and I can't have trouble pulling my mind together. So, do you ever think like that, moms, as you stand at the freezer, and the freezer door's open, and the thing is piled to the top, full of all kinds of things, and you can't think of one thing to make for dinner? Freezer's full, but how do I put that together and make a meal out of it? Well, that's kind of how I felt this morning. There's a sausage, and there's a bacon, there's a ham, and there's a pork, and there's a beef. There's some duck in there, and some chicken, and turkey, and my mind's drawn to all kinds of directions, and I've had trouble, and I'm thinking, how do I pull this together? And then I was having my quiet time this morning. I was focusing mainly on the main message, and nothing's quite, I'm kind of thinking down the road, of one direction. I open up the devotional that I normally have been going through beside the still waters every morning. And there's another path. I'm like, this really hit home. Faithfulness of God. And I think that pulls everything together. So this morning, hope at an anchor of the soul is the title of my message this morning. Turn to Hebrews 6. Verse 17 through 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I had a message here a couple months ago, back in October, I believe it was the last week of October, Communion Sunday, on Christ, how he went into the Holy of Holies and put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Well, this is talking about that this morning. The anchor goes into the veil and hangs on, hooks into the mercy seat where Christ's blood was put on the mercy seat. And that's where we have our hope. And this morning, that anchor is connected to Jesus Christ's finished work on Calvary when he put his blood on the mercy seat once and for all. And that gives us hope of eternal life and purpose here in this life. We live in a world of hopeless people. And that's why there's so much suicide in our world today. And the Christian, as Christians, even when we go through difficult trials and testings, we have an anchor that goes into the veil. And we don't have to go through difficulty. And our life doesn't need to fall apart when times get tough, because we have an anchor that can carry us through Jesus Christ. And I have found in my own experiences, as we go through difficulties, and sometimes it's manifold, multiple layers of trials at the same time, the best place to be is what we were singing about this morning. When we think about God and we worship and we think about the faithfulness of God, I don't know of any way better place to be. And you draw near to the Lord thinking about his faithfulness and his character. You draw near to the heart of God in worship as you go through difficulties. And God comes near and bows himself, and he ministers to your heart. And he feeds you and ministers to your soul. That's the answer to the suicide problem when life goes bad, when life turns sour. We all have trials. And we have a faithful God this morning. And that's why we can have hope on our countenance, in our faces, as we go through life. And people look at us and they should see a face full of hope, not hopelessness. Have you ever looked in the face of a person and their eyes are hollow and they're hopeless? There's people, our world's full of people like that. And they need people that have hope in Jesus Christ to minister to them. Even if your life is not necessarily all upbeat, we still have an answer. Jesus Christ. And that, you know, we live in I just talked to someone here this week, living in Texas, that was calling, wanted to reach out and order my honey. And he thought if he has a good enough diet, he could live to 100 years old. And I'm thinking, what would possess somebody to actually want to live to 100 years old in a world like this? It's a broken world. Why would I be so scared of my Creator that I'd be trying every way possible to keep out of heaven? Do you know why? Because they have no hope. They're a hopeless people. They're scared of death. We should not be scared of death. We don't need to be scared of death if we have our anchor in Christ, a faithful Creator. Turn to 1 Peter. A few pages back, 1 Peter 1. Verses 18 through 23. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your former conversation, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was before ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. There we have might set our hope in God. Having trouble laying my eyes on the word I wanted to pull out here. Yeah, your faith and hope in God. So there we have faith and hope in God because of what he's done for us. And we have hope this morning. We have purpose. And because of the finished work of Calvary. And that turns around and then we are faithful to each other as well. Because of the faithfulness of God to us, we are faithful in loving our brothers just like Jesus Christ, and sisters just like Jesus Christ loves us. And we are faithful to each other. We're willing to give our life in sacrifice for each other because Jesus Christ was our perfect example in that. Turn to 1 Peter 4:19. I had to think of this verse as I was looking out the window this morning. Wherefore, let them that suffer, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Faithful. We have a faithful creator this morning. And I was just thinking, I guess, down the lines of my own life. So yesterday, my wife and I were married for 28, we celebrated our 28th wedding anniversary. And I was thinking about faithfulness to life companions, faithfulness to our children, and then how did I pull all this together? And we have a faithful God who stands beside us, who dwells in us. If we're faithfully committing ourselves to him, the keeping of our souls to him, that we can be faithful to our spouses, husbands, and wives, to each other for years. For decades after decade, we can be faithful to each other. I just, for whatever it's worth, I Googled how many marriages last 28 years in the world, just for out of curiosity. It's at between 30 and 35%. Wow. So how many of those marriages that are going for 20, 25, 30 years are actually thriving marriages? So not only do we want to just be living together, but we want to be living together with the same heartbeat that Christ intended marriage to be, a faithful testimony of Christ and his church. That's a challenge for us, to not only be enduring each other, but that our marriages could be a testimony of what Jesus Christ wants his relationship to his church to be like. And that manifestation is the only thing that the world sees that draws them to what the church, what his relationship to the church is. That's a challenge for us to be taking our marriages, relationships seriously. So my heart beat as I was thinking about 28 years, celebrating our 28th anniversary, thinking about myself as a faithful husband to my wife. It is my heartbeat to be a faithful husband to my wife, as long as, if the Lord gives us another 28 years. And not just living together, enduring marriage, but actually that it's thriving. And it could be a testimony of Christ in his church. And I was thinking about Malachi 2. Why did the Lord want marriages to be one in spirit, a oneness there, and a drawing together and a close unity, that he might seek a godly seed? My mind was going down that direction yesterday and days up to our wedding anniversary as I'm thinking about that and how important it is that husbands and wives are together, that we can raise a godly seed, because there's something that happens when a husband and wife are completely united in vision and heartbeat, and there's a genuine love there, that it does something to the children. It puts a stability in the children's hearts and helps them to understand the heartbeat of God. You want your children, and as a father, as a faithful father to my wife, my children's mother, they see a picture of their heavenly father in me. I have a tremendous responsibility to demonstrate that as best I can in all my failings, in my neediness. And so that our, you know, and even if we did not have an ideal home situation in growing up, God is faithful that we are not destined to have to repeat the same failures. We can, and you know, one of the keys I have found, if you parents grew up in a situation that you wondered if your parents would they lived in a spirit of divorce, and you wondered if, is this going to stay together? I don't know if any of you sitting here had that experience or not. I did. But you know what? God's faithfulness. 1 week or so before our wedding day, God gave me a Christian prodigal that I opened up. And there was a testimony of an old couple talked about their relationship in their married life. How they had never had an argument. And I couldn't see how that could possibly be possible. But God set that vision before me just before I got married. His faithfulness. But there was one key that had to happen in order for me to be able to rise above what my parents had. And that was forgiveness. I had to be able to completely forgive my parents' failures. And then get a hold of the vision. And seek it with my whole heart. And rise above the old, all I knew. You can rise above all you know too. You're not destined to repeat your parents' failures. But one thing is absolute, and you have to forgive their failures. And then you need to set your vision. Set your focus on what you want. And with passion and the power of God, push for that with all your heart. And God can give you that. And then I was thinking about as a faithful husband, a faithful dad to my children. So we have a beekeeping operation, beekeeping business, and it's been steady growth for the last 6 years since COVID. And my heartbeat has been, as what we were talking about, so steady growth, almost to the point it's too steady, too strong, and to be healthy. And we have a place down in South Carolina that we go down there and we have our bees down in South Carolina. We have a 32-acre farm down there, or farmette or whatever you want to call it. And we were down there 2 weeks ago. I was working with the bees. Our family was down, some of our family. And I like to, in the morning before I start working, I like to walk. There's a 10-acre field that's open, and there's about 18 acres behind a field that goes down to a creek. But there's 18 open acres with a walkway the whole way around that perimeter of that property. And back of the property, there's big trees, big white yellow pine trees that are about 80 to 90 feet tall, staggered in there. There's deer back there. There's turkey. It's quiet place. So I'm walking around the property here, just walking, getting my exercise and praying, worshiping the Lord. 2 mornings I did that, and then my son says, "Hey, Dad, I want to get up with you this morning, and I want to walk with you around the farm, around the property." So I'm walking with my son, holding his hand. We're talking, and we're walking, and we're looking at the beauty of creation as we're walking around the property there. And he's stopping. He's saying, "Look, Dad, look at that spider web in that tree, weeds there. And hey, look at that. There's spider webs down here." And he's pointing out creation of God. I'm, wow. My son, I love creation. My son's getting a hold of God's creation because I talk about God's creation a lot. And he's seeing this, and he's amazed at the creation of God. The robins are singing in the treetops right then. Spring peepers are singing. It's about 60 degrees. There's a fog hanging over our field there, and the sun's just starting to come up over the horizon of the pine trees as it dips down, going down to the creek. It's just beautiful. But you know, in all of that, I want to be that doesn't mean anything to my son. He doesn't care what Dad owns. He cares that Dad's faithful. And my heartbeat has been in all that, whatever God does or groweth or whatever with business, my business is not going to own me. the business is going to be a servant to me. If the business owns me, then my business owns me and I don't own it. And I could have myself all wrapped up in my business and all wrapped up in the debt and be growing this thing and my heart's all wrapped up in it. But unless I'm there for my family and my wife, I'm not a faithful husband, I'm not a faithful dad, and I'm not faithful to my Creator. And so I've been really challenged with that as I've been looking at this whole thing, saying whatever happens, I don't care if we have to make ourselves unhandy, make life unhandy, to stay out of debt as much as possible so that this business does not own me, but it becomes a servant that I can use to the glory of God. And whatever happens, I'm going to be raising my family for the Lord. I don't care what else. I will not set my heart on that business. I want to be a faithful dad. And so that's been what I've been challenged with. I want to be I have a faithful Creator. I want to be a faithful father and a faithful husband and a faithful son of my heavenly Father. And be busy about the Father's business and whatever else God gives me to do. I want it to be under, completely yielded to God. Not setting my heart on anything else but the kingdom of God. So let us, as we go through life, let us remember you have a faithful Creator. You have hope as an anchor to the soul. And because of that this morning, you can be faithful. In whatever life brings you, seek to be a faithful son, faithful daughter to the King of Kings in whatever God calls you to do. And be faithful to those that God has called you to lead, whether it's a father, a wife, a husband, brother in the church, sister in the church. May God be with you. Let's be faithful.